This is Chicago's home for sports.
Black and Abdallah, ESPN 1000, and now on digital FM at 100.3 HD2.
It's Black and Abdallah, weeknights here on ESPN 1000. I'm Chris Black along with Adam Abdallah. Adam, let's start with the Bulls. We got some news earlier today. Adrian Wojnarowski was kind of hinting at this throughout the day. And then the Bulls announced it. Lonzo Ball, he will have surgery on his knee. He will be out 6 to 8 weeks. He'll have surgery on that left knee. He's expected to miss the 6 to 8 weeks. The team announced on Thursday. The Bulls will, they've got a 3-game road trip tomorrow night against the Bucks. Will be a great game to see if this team can compete against the world champs in Milwaukee. Lonzo will not make the trip. He's actually going to California for the surgery. And when you look at this whole situation for Lonzo Ball, this season he's averaging 13 points, 5 rebounds per game, 5 assists, one of the Bulls' best defenders. And really, his facilitation of the offense has really allowed Vucevic and allowed DeMar DeRozan and Zach LaVine to kind of fill their roles offensively and to kind of get everyone into the mix. And one of the things that I really liked about Lonzo to this point in the season is that he's not someone that needs the ball to score. Like, the ball finds him for him to hit buckets from three and facilitate in the open court. Like, he doesn't need to eat up time of the possession to try and get his. And I think that's what makes this Bulls offense so dangerous, is that you know you have Zach LaVine and DeMar DeRozan who can go one-on-one if need be. But the others fit so perfectly. And from the defensive side, Lonzo leads the way. He and Alex Caruso are by far the two best defenders on the team. So Lonzo, he's going to have surgery on his left knee. He once had surgery on the same left knee for the same exact thing back in 2018 when he was with the Lakers. He had that surgery in July, and he was back before training camp, so he's ready to go for that season. He didn't miss any games because of it. So 6 to 8 weeks, you know, 4 weeks we're looking at the end of February, 8 weeks we're looking at the end of March. I would guess probably somewhere between those two dates, that's where you get the 6 to 8. So somewhere early March, maybe we'll be looking for Lonzo Ball to return, but the Bulls are definitely going to need him as they head towards the playoffs.
Yeah, that was kind of the point, is, you know, you want him for that playoff run, and that's where, you know, you want his scoring ability. You especially want his defense, right? Like, you want, when it comes to the playoffs, you want his defense. And yeah, I think that as long as he comes back healthy, and as long as he comes back by, like you said, the beginning of the March, 6 to 8 weeks, whatever it is, and, you know, he's got all of March to get his legs back underneath him. He's got, you know, the first couple weeks of April until the season ends. And then you've got, you know, the playoffs there, which he should be ready for. If he comes back in the middle of March and has a month to play and get back in the flow of things, I'm not concerned about this. Now, if you want the Bulls to maintain, you know, top seed in the East, does this mean that they might fall out of that, you know, the top two seeds, top three seeds without him? Well, it's just a matter of how healthy everyone else is. How long is Zach LaVine out with this knee injury? Can everyone else stay healthy? Do they not have any more COVID issues moving forward? So I think that pretty much the entire team has had COVID in this last run, so they should be good there. But as far as everybody else staying healthy, that's the only thing that matters, is can everybody else stay healthy and maintain? And I think that this means without him through the trade deadline, you're probably not going to be moving anybody, because you're going to need the scoring. I mean, you look at last night, you know, Kobe White puts in 16, Io puts in 18. You need that scoring with Lonzo out. One of those guys is going to have to continue to start with him out. So to me, one, I wouldn't have traded anybody in the first place, even if Lonzo was healthy, because I think this team is good as is. And I think that once Pat Williams comes back, they get even better. But now you need all that scoring you can get. And I don't know if you're, what are you trading? Scoring for more scoring? Like, you're not, like, it's, what are you trying to do here? So it's definitely a blow to not have him there. But as long as he's back by the middle of March and he's ready to go by the middle of April for the playoffs, then that's fine.
I think the retort to you based on what are you trading for? Most Bulls fans would say we need inside help. That would be the number one thing that people want traded for the Chicago Bulls.
Okay.
I think you have to look at to what extent do you want to give up pieces, because the primary asset that this team has right now is depth in the backcourt, right? Lonzo's been out. Caruso was out. You get Caruso back, but Io DeSumo, Kobe White, they have played a lot of minutes, a lot of good minutes too for this team. Mm-hmm. You're getting high-level production out of your third and fourth guards. So, you know, that's also not even factoring in that Zach LaVine's been out, right? So, like, you're looking at guys on the depth chart. When you look at guard play for the Chicago Bulls, the fifth and sixth individuals on the team, and they're giving you high-level play at this point. And I think that's something where Kobe White shooting from three is going to be needed. We've talked about this now for the last couple of weeks. Ayo Dosunmu is going to do something in the playoffs. He is going to change a game. And I don't know how he'll do it, but it'll be with hustle. It'll be because of his motor and because of his basketball IQ. He is going to change a game, which will change a playoff series. And so when you have those two guys in the backcourt who are your fifth and sixth options in the backcourt behind Zach LaVine and Alex Caruso and Lonzo Ball, like you have enough depth, right? And you have individuals that make it difficult for other teams to be successful for you in the backcourt. And so what are you giving up in a trade? And the name Patrick Williams continues to come up because he's not around, right? Like, you don't see him. You're not aware of the development that could be taking place. And obviously, when a guy is hurt and he can't participate, you kind of forget of what he could be. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the question Bulls fans need to look at is are you willing to give up the high-level ceiling of a Patrick Williams to perhaps add something to this team when then the rest of the conversation is like, where are you going this season anyway? Like, is this the season that you make a title run? You know, I think we would all agree to this point they're a surprise. If they continue to play the way that they have in the first half of the season, yeah, they could probably make a run at the conference finals. But again, I keep saying to you on this show, second round. That's what this team needs to have their sights on this year. Make sure you get to the second round. Get into a playoff series where you're against one of these top four good teams in the Eastern Conference, and then we'll see where they go from there. There's a lot of time before we get to the end of the season where this team can develop. They can get better defensively. They can get better on offense. Let's see where this goes before we disrupt it with some kind of major change.
Yeah, I'm not worried about what happens this year because I do think that they're not as good as the Nets when at full strength or as the Bucks at full strength. So I feel like this year you just kind of see what you have and see how far they can go and get that playoff experience for some of these guys. And then next year you see what you can do in the trade market or whatever, and you with your draft, they've got, you know, second round picks and all that stuff. So to me, it's just what do you have this year and what Patrick Williams can bring to you when he comes back. Because I've said it before, I'll say it a thousand times. There are two guys on this team that this regime has drafted, and it is Ayo and it is Pat Williams. And they're not going to, because they didn't draft Kobe. Kobe was before they got here.
Yep.
So I'm not going to, and look at what Ayo's been able to do. Like, you don't, like, trust them. Trust them. They've done nothing but make this team better. They haven't made a bad move. So trust that you, if they believe that Pat Williams is going to be, I'm not saying he's going to be the next Kawhi, but that's been all the comps. The comps have been he can be that guy who is a great defender, who can score and do all that kind of stuff. So to me, you don't trade that. Also, who's trading for a guy that's hurt? What are you getting in return for a guy that's hurt?
Well, another guy that's hurt.
Okay, then what good does that do?
Jeremy Grant's been out since December the 10th for the Pistons. So, like, that's who most people point to as the guy who could be a power forward, small forward, who could play for the Bulls, play defense, and score the basketball. He's the type of guy that the Bulls could go after. That's the name. He's been hurt since December the 10th, right? So you're going to be trading a piece that's been hurt for someone who has been hurt. Mm-hmm. Hopefully Grant comes back, obviously, sooner than Patrick Williams and can help you. And I wonder if Bulls fans are like, is that what you have your sights on? Is that who the Bulls have to go after to go get? Jeremy Grant. Now, he'd be under contract for 2 years, and then he'd be up for free agency. The other conversation, I think, with Grant would be, you know, in this Bulls offense, at best, he's the third option.
Yeah.
And is that something that he wants to do? Right? Like, he's a guy who could score 25 a night. for a bad team. So is he willing to sacrifice for a couple of seasons to play on a team trying to win for a championship?
Mm-hmm.
Now, there is a connection there. He was on the Olympic team. So Zach was on the Olympic team, right? Like, so there is something there that you could say, oh, yeah, maybe he knows, like, what the Bulls are building, what Zach's all about.
But
that
he wants
want
a bigger
play
role,
with him.
Though.
Well, and but, like, that's the thing is when you start stacking other stars on the team, you have to have guys willing to sacrifice. Is he someone that would be willing to sacrifice to be a part of what they're building here?
I don't know. Because I believe he said that he wants a bigger role. He wants starters minutes. And if you're the third option, like,
well,
then
he would start. It's just when he's not going to be getting the amount of shots when DeMar's number one, Zach LaVine's number two, healthy. And then you got Vooch in there as well. Now, you would say that Grant would be the better scorer than Vooch.
Yeah.
But also, now you've got a lot of guys where scoring is their primary asset.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and that's where this team kind of makes a lot of sense the way that they are right now, because there are guys who play a lot of minutes where scoring isn't their number one concern, right? Like, and that's a good thing to have, is guys like Caruso and Io who are willing to play a lot of minutes where, yeah, you may not shoot for multiple possessions. Like,
yeah.
It ain't about you. And that's why Lonzo, and Lonzo being out for 6 to 8 weeks, why Lonzo is perfect for this team.
Yeah.
Because it ain't about him.
He doesn't have to get up shots every time.
No, it's about getting everyone else incorporated.
Yes.
Barry in the South Loop, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Barry?
Hey, good evening, guys. How are you?
We're good, man. What's up?
That's good. So listen, I know you're going to tell me to pump my brakes after I say this, right? But I'm looking at Williams and Io, and I think they're going to be the second coming of Grant and Pippen. Ooh. If you look at Io's numbers, the three games that he started against starters, the best in the NBA, this dude is like 18-8-6-2. And he's not even in a grown man body yet. Just imagine what happens when he picks up 20 pounds. And I watch him because I'm a season ticket holder.
Yeah.
When he's on the bench, a lot of times this dude is studying his opponent. He's not lollygagging. This guy's about business, man. He's bitter because he was the 29th pick in the draft, and I think he's going to just blossom, and so is Williams when he comes back. I'll hang up and listen. Have a good night.
Thanks, Barry. Appreciate the phone call. And the play from Io DeSumo this season is so great. There's nothing not to like. Double negative for you. He is such a feel-good story because he works his ass off, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's a Chicago kid.
It's a great story.
Went to U of I, playing for the Bulls, rookie season, over-delivers on everything. And it's not just that he can score the basketball. It's he plays defense. He facilitates on offense.
Mm-hmm.
He's smart. He's got a great basketball IQ. He does everything a Bulls fan would want in a player coming off the bench.
Absolutely. And it's a great story, you know, playing at Illinois, coming to play for the Bulls, all that stuff. Like, it's a good story, and you hope that he just continues to play like this, right? He's going to get a bigger role now that Lonzo's going to be out for 6 to 8 weeks. So you've got time here for him to develop even more. And it sucks that Lonzo's out, but the experience that Kobe White's going to get, that Io's going to get from playing more minutes, are going to be extremely valuable come playoff time.
The Ringer had a piece yesterday about what do the Bulls need to do and who do they need to get to be real contenders. Here are the names. The first name would be Jeremy Grant. I gave you that one earlier. Harrison Barnes. You want Harry Barnes standing in the corner?
I don't need Harry Barnes.
Well, I mean, he's good from three-point range.
Okay.
But
Cool.
Barnes, TJ Warren.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Kyle Anderson.
Yep. Cool.
Thaddeus Young.
Great. Awesome. Grand.
Nicholas Batum.
Batum.
Robert Covington.
Okay.
Larry Nance Jr. Now, Covington and Nance would be, assuming the Blazers get to a point where they can't make the play-in games and they start trading off pieces.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, basically, you know, Nicholas Batum, that's not getting it done for me. Thaddeus Young, that'd be nice in the buyout market. Like, I'm not moving pieces for him. I like Kyle Anderson as a player. He's a good Grizzlies player. He can kind of do everything. Good at passing. He was in the Spurs system back in the day. TJ Warren, Harrison Barnes, doesn't really, like, if you say the Bulls add Harrison Barnes or TJ Warren, I don't know if you win the championship because of that. And then Jeremy Grant. And we discussed why Jeremy Grant may not want to be around, you know, and may not want to go to a place like this where he's not the guy. So it's all stuff that we have to keep our eyes on. If you want to join the conversation, the phone number is 312-332-3776. The latest on the Bears head coaching and GM search. We have the latest for you next.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah.
ESPN. ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Update the Bears head coaching search, the GM search, in just a moment. If you want to join the conversation, you can call us at 312-332-3776. Like Joe in Irving Park. Joe, you're on ESPN 1000.
Hey, how's it going? So I just want to touch upon the trade market.
Sure.
I think the Bulls have exceeded expectations beyond belief. So like you said, second round would be perfect. I don't think we need to like push anything crazy. I think, you know, realistically, we thought we probably could have been maybe 6-5 seeds. So, you know, would we want those Jeremy Grants and those Kyle Andersons if we are a 5 seed, giving up a Patrick Williams or whoever it may be? So, you know, I'm along the lines of if AK goes after it, I trust it. But I don't think we need to force anything. You know, let's get something maybe in the free agent market. We're, you know, this team's pretty close to being one superstar away from doing it. Let's keep our pieces instead of trading that for a Jeremy Grant.
Right. Good call, Joe. And yep. The Bulls have played 43 games together. And this group was put together at the trade deadline last year and at free agency in this past summer. They played 43 games together. And also keep in mind, Zach's been hurt. Caruso's been hurt. DeMar DeRozan and Vooch are the only two that's basically been the consistent two for this entire 43-game span.
Yeah.
43 games. That's nothing.
Yeah.
That's nothing. And so, as Joe was saying, to assume that this team should have loftier goals than perhaps the second round, I think is just expecting a little too much too soon, because you don't have a top 10 player on your team. Now, if you replace DeMar DeRozan with Kevin Durant, I'd say, yeah, you should probably get to the conference finals. You should probably make the finals.
Yeah.
Because he's Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
But the expectation level...
That's what the Nets are doing, yeah.
The expectation level for this team has to be a little bit different. And I think you can take the approach where you just kind of let it cook. And you try and figure out, like, you let this group grow together through an entire season where defense is their strong suit. Like... By the time that you double it, at the end of the season, they're playing 43 games at this point. Mm-hmm. So by the time you get to the 82 at the end, like, think about how much better the team defense is going to be and deciding at the end of the game in clutch situations who gets the ball and who's taking the shot at the end of the game. Like, all that stuff takes a little bit of time in the NBA.
Yeah, you have to feel, I mean, this is the first year this team is playing together. You got to feel everything out. In the playoffs, everything tightens up. You know, the ball slows down a lot more. So I feel like if you get a run out of this team and they make the conference finals, that's playing with house money, right? Because, okay, you're in the conference finals in year one of putting this team together. Like, that's huge. So to me, you have to have the right kind of expectations. And everybody was like, oh, 5-6 seed, okay, like Joe said. And that getting out of the first round at that point is a good thing. Now, getting to the second round, getting out of the second round, getting to the conference finals, like, that's a big deal. So if they can make that kind of run, sure, that's awesome. But everybody's got to stay healthy, and there are just teams that are just built better than you right now. And I think we've seen that, not in the last week because they've been hurt, but, you know, playing against the Warriors and playing against the Nets, and it's like, okay, well, like, they have three superstars. You know what I mean? Like, they've got Kyrie, Durant, and James Harden. And when they're all playing together, that team is amazing and unstoppable because they have three superstars on their team. Like, the Bulls might have a few all-stars, but that's the big difference. All-stars against superstars.
Yeah, and that's, like, in that conference series, you know, whoever the Bulls would be matched up with, and even in the second round, it's likely that whoever they face, they're going to, that team's going to have the better player on their team.
Yeah.
The best, better player. And like, DeMar DeRozan's fantastic. He's leading the all-star voting in guards in the conference. And like, he's going to be a starter in the all-star game. That's great.
Mm-hmm.
But if you go up against the 76ers, they've got a guy who legitimately is up for the MVP in Joel Embiid, who's been fantastic in the last month. You go up against the Bucks, you know, it's Giannis. And then you just list it off with the Nets. There's like three options there. You know, like, I could argue James Harden is better. I could argue Kyrie is better. I could argue Kevin Durant's the best player in the world.
Yeah.
So, like, that's the situation the Bulls find themselves in. The only team that's out there that's very good that you could have a debate about is Miami. Miami, you could have the debate. The Bulls could have the best player on their team than the Heat.
Yeah, because the best player on that team is Jimmy Butler, and I think that the Bulls have a better player in LaVine and DeRozan than Jimmy Butler.
And for my money, that would be a hell of a series.
Yeah, that's a great series.
Bulls-Heat in the second round, like, that thing is going seven.
And I think the Bulls can get out of that.
Sure, but that's a series.
Yeah.
That's a tough series with two teams that do not have a number one alpha, top 10 player in the league on their team. Okay, so the Bears head coaching search, their GM search.
It's the final countdown.
All right, so here's the update as of today, because the interviews keep rolling, Abdallah. We're going to be doing this until March. Here's the update today. By my count, there are 15 individuals getting the interviews for the GM position, but one dropped out. So we're at 14, right? Is that the correct math?
Yes, yes. And there was
Ed Dobbs, who dropped out yesterday.
Yes, Dodd said no thank you, but no thank you.
So he out.
And today, they supposedly interviewed JoJo Wooden, the director of player personnel for the Los Angeles Chargers.
JoJo. Now, JoJo Wooden worked under Tom Telesco, and Telesco is one of the best GMs, I think, in the league.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
For the Chargers. Wooden from the Chargers, director of pro personnel, and then for the head coaching situation, the Bears have 10 names on that list, and they've already told Matt Eberflus, hey, Matt, come back on Monday. We'd like a second interview with you. What's going on there?
Well, how about this? How about this? Read the tea leaves if you want to, Chris, because if Matt Eberflus is coming in for a second interview, will he also be interviewing with Director of College Scouting, Morocco Brown, of the Indianapolis Colts, who is also interviewing on Monday?
A little tandem date.
Well, I'm just saying.
A little tandem deal.
You've already had the interview with the coach. You obviously know that the director of college scouting, whoever works for the Colts, likes this guy. So maybe you're bringing in the coach as a second interview and saying, hey, if we like Morocco Brown, we just hire them both because they've worked together before. Maybe they want to continue working together. Maybe not. Who knows which interview is going to be first? Does Eberflus get the morning interview and Morocco Brown get the afternoon interview?
No.
How does it happen?
You got to go GM candidate first.
Yeah, well,
Eberflus as your dessert.
You would think.
You go to him after
it's polling. Dessert's at 4:30.
Well, no, it's early, right?
Yeah.
And so you get the warm milk and you get ready for the early bird special. But you can't do the interview second time around with the GM candidate before the coach if you're looking for the tandem deal.
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense.
Well, I mean, come on. Does any of this make sense?
No,
look at the sheet. Does any of this sheet make sense?
No, there's a lot of names there, and that's why we keep joking about it, that they're
it's
on
the
this
final countdown
to find the GM and head coach of the Chicago Bears. Bluck and Abdallah here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN Chicago app. I mean, we look at the names, and every day we add a name. It continues on. We're going to be doing this until the weekend.
This weekend?
Yeah.
Wait, there's only one more day left.
Well,
we got interviews
weekend.
On Monday.
Yeah, next weekend.
We're going to be doing this until St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah.
Which holiday will the Bears have a head coach and GM by? Valentine's Day or St. Patrick's Day? Are we going to go all the way to Arbor Day?
It's got to be Valentine's Day, right? Because the Super
Flag
Bowl
Day?
Weekend before, right?
I would think.
Nate on the South Side, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Nate?
Hey guys, just wanted to talk a little bit about the Bulls, and I kind of heard this debate between Jay Will and Stephen A the other day, but say we get to like game 78 somewhere down, you know, somewhere toward the end of the season, and we're about like a game or a game and a half ahead of the Nets. Now hear me out.
Okay.
Does it make sense for the Bulls to kind of like rest their players on purpose down the stretch to ensure that the Nets end up with a better record so that Kyrie can't play in a potential game 7 in Brooklyn?
No.
Well, here's the thing, Nate.
That's way too much trying to manipulate.
Here's also the thing, Nate. Kyrie can play. the Nets would just have to pay a fine.
The Bulls to kind of like,
and the fine wouldn't be that much. I think it's like $10,000 or something like
yeah,
that a game.
They talked about it on the ESPN broadcast, but the next day Woj released a statement from the league office saying that's not the case. The league office, it was Dave Pasch and Mark Jackson suggesting on the air that that's the case.
Okay.
So the next day Woj put out information clearly from the league office saying that the league wants teams and their employees to follow the local jurisdiction. So it's not up to some fine that they can pay and just allow him to pay. It would be if he's a net in New York City, there's a mandate. He can't play.
But the local jurisdiction is you can play if there's a fine. There's a fine.
No,
law is you can do it, but we're going to fine you.
Okay.
Isn't it, though?
I'm telling you the next day, Woj was like, that's not something that can be done.
No, I know what you're saying, but can't the Nets just say, okay, but
no, because
he's allowed to as long as we pay the fine?
Like I said, you can look it up.
I'm agreeing with you.
I'm telling you what he said the next day. He basically, without saying it, was that the guys on air the night before were completely wrong. They can't do that.
All right. Then they can't do that.
And with that said, like, listen, you try and, you know, get out of the dodging the seventh game and you get Kyrie here, this, that, and the other.
Just play the
games, man. What if he decides to just wake up one day and say, I might be vaccinated?
Well, he's clearly not said that. So
No, I know, but at any point, he could decide to get vaccinated, and this is all out the window.
Maybe J. Cole will tell him to get vaccinated.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Stuff. The divisional round in the NFL playoffs. Bengals, Titans, 49ers, Packers. That's the Saturday games. And Abdallah on Sunday, Rams, Buccaneers, Bills, Chiefs. I mean, if you said at the start of the season, you'll get a single day in the playoffs where you get Rams, Buccaneers, Bills, Chiefs, you'd say, oh, it's the title games, right?
Oof.
That's the AFC and the NFC title games.
No, sir.
Man, can't wait. Love the NFL playoffs. Let's preview the NFL playoffs with our friend, the Fat Jack. Go to his website at fatjacksports.com. You can also follow him on Twitter, at the Fat Jack, and you can call him at 800-298-1383. Jack, how'd you do on Wild Card Weekend last weekend?
Yeah, good to talk to you guys. Yeah, winner, chicken dinner last week. So we hit the football for a little bit, not very much, but selections won, opinions both won. And then the basketball made another six games of profit. And then this week we started out, we were 3-1 on Monday, 3-0 Tuesday, so 6-1 that we lost last night. So 6-3 so far this week, so about 9 games in hoops, and all those games are very inexpensive to add to your football package when you go to fatjacksports.com. Actually, the longer packages, you're going to get everything between now and this year's Super Bowl for free if you sign up through next year's Super Bowl. So great time to get signed up. Super excited about the games. And there's so many ways to make money leading up to Super Bowl now with all the different ways to bet on these games. I'm fired up. I'm just trying to figure out where to put all the money.
Okay, Jack, so walk me off of betting everything I've got on the Bengals getting points on the road with Joe Cool. I think Joe Burrow is the next it guy in the league. Why shouldn't I bet on the Bengals this weekend?
Somebody's got a man crush. I had idea that you were.
I know.
Uh-huh.
I know.
You were loving on Joe
Saturday
Burrow.
Night. Hit hard.
You know what? I had that happen. The first time my wife took her shirt off, I was like, this is it. Forever.
Forever.
I will 30 years later. So forever, I don't care. If you're willing to do that, I'll take you. It's been 30 years now. So I'll give you 10 reasons. How about the fact that Tennessee, we talked about this earlier in the year, Tennessee beat 4 playoff teams back-to-back-to-back-to-back in the middle of the season. They were only the third team to do that in the modern era of football. Of those 3 other teams that beat 4 playoff teams from the previous year, all 3 made the Super Bowl, and 2 of them won the Super Bowl. Tennessee is getting no love. And no. By the way, they were off last week. They're the number one seed. I promise you go down there on,
Wabash Avenue and ask somebody, who's the number one seed? A lot of them are not giving you Tennessee. I mean, they just think that they just happen to be in the playoffs, like the fat girl at the dance is standing in the corner. This is the best teams in the league. 8-1 plus to win the Super Bowl. They have a Bengals team that, yeah, they took care of business last week, but guys, this is uncharted territory, the deep end of the pool for these guys. And so as long as Tennessee can run the ball, this is the best. You're getting great value with a team that nobody's respecting, not only long-term, but in this game. The Bengals are the one team that we're still not sure. Now, if they beat Tennessee, we know they're a contender and not a pretender, but I'm not willing to say that just yet. I love what Burrow's doing. I think they're a year away, though, so I like Tennessee minus the points in that one.
All right, we go to Saturday night. I'll ask you what Chris asked you. Talk me off the ledge of putting all of my money on the Packers and Aaron Rodgers, who's had an extra week to get healthy.
Yeah, right. This is easier. I mean, this is a public play that is a little bit easier to do because you get Aaron Rodgers and his cape. I mean, it seems to not matter what goes on around him. And a ton of different things lead you toward them. First and foremost, the line setters are dialed in on San Francisco. If you look last week, Dallas coming off a 51-28 whatever against a huge offensive output against the Eagles. They are at home. Jerry World, everybody's rocking. All the inbreeders are out throughout the game and drunk. I mean, this thing looks like a layup for Dallas over San Francisco, but it wasn't. San Francisco only a 2.5-point underdog at Jerry World, and lo and behold, exactly what Vegas thought was going to happen did. Dallas had trouble scoring. San Fran played their game. But now what do we have? We have the biggest line of the weekend, almost a touchdown, a Green Bay team that averages 30.8 points per game at Lambeau Field, and in the playoffs averages 26.5. If they get even to average, do we see a San Francisco team scoring enough points to get in any type of shootout with the Packers? I think the answer is no. San Francisco wins by good defense, winning time of possession, and not to mention Garoppolo has a hurt hand, so he's not even 100%. I think this is a layup that the general public also will end up going with. I like over the total in this one as well. Green Bay 26-13 to the over on that streak, and they also 28-14 to the over in playoff games. So they typically get it done when the lights are at the brightest. Aaron Rodgers undoubtedly is the best quarterback in the league, and he typically comes tall when he needs to. So I like Green Bay. I can't talk you off the ledge, but I will tell you this. There's no sure thing. Green Bay goes up and turns it over three times, or Aaron Rodgers breaks his hand the first series. You're going to be super sad if you risk your house on the Packers and Love as their backup who couldn't score on the three of us. So I'd be careful in all these. They're all good teams, all deserving. But, yeah, the Packers are the right side of that one.
Yeah, the thing I think about in this matchup, Jack, is with the 49ers, say the game is a two-score game in the fourth quarter and the 49ers are trailing. I just know that I can't gamble or trust that Jimmy Garoppolo is someone who can even come back to cover that or even come back to win the football game. I feel like the only way the 49ers win this game is by scoring early and taking a lead and then running the football well into the second half.
And then you need to probably go watch Murder, She Wrote and get drunk if you're having to fade Aaron Rodgers when he's behind. They could drop out 97 times, throw it all over the yard, and typically, unlike other quarterbacks that get put in that predictable situation, he figures out a way to deliver. So I'm not saying San Francisco can't cover. You're right. That's the formula. They get the lead. They win time of possession. I mean, the rush defense for Green Bay was 31st in the league in yards allowed. So they do not stop the run really well. San Francisco is going to try to run the ball. But I don't see a formula that Green Bay doesn't score. And when they score, San Fran's going to be taken out of their comfort zone because Green Bay will get enough stops defensively to get them behind. And then you've got a hurt thumb on a quarterback that's far inferior to what Rodgers is trying to play catch-up. So the over is kind of a hedge bet there because I don't see a world that it stays under and Green Bay. The only way it stays under is San Francisco doesn't do their part offensively. I just don't see them stopping Aaron Rodgers enough to let them not get to his average, which is 30 points. So I think if he gets there, it either flies over or Green Bay wins and covers.
Your Rams' future is still alive. They're getting three in Tampa Bay. Very banged up Tampa Bay, but they do have Tom Brady. They're a three-point favorite. Do you feel good about your Rams' future going into the divisional weekend?
You know, it's funny. I age is such an interesting thing because, you know, Ben Roethlisberger, people were literally ready to shoot, send out to pasture about 5 weeks ago. Tom Brady's 4 or 5 years older than him. I think Roethlisberger's 39, Brady's 44. And we're like, yeah, he's good. He can play as long as he wants. Hard to bet against the GOAT, right? I mean, this time of year, he is as good, if not better, than anybody else. I don't know if it's ego, and it might be, because I've liked the Rams the whole year. I don't love where Stafford has been. He doesn't protect the ball quite enough, but this Tampa secondary is banged up, and their offensive line's banged up. So you got to deal with Donald and company up front. And if you get to Brady even halfway consistently, he becomes real human real quick. So I think there are some matchups that would be a struggle for the Rams. Also, I love the fact Tampa had to play last week. You know, if they're coming off a bye and they're rested and all those things, I'm a little bit more hesitant. But I think the Rams traveled well. Their defense is going to travel. Another game, I think there'll be some points. 15 of the last 20 games for the Bucs have gone over the total when they scored 10 points or more in the previous game. They're also on a large streak to the over going back in the playoffs. So Cooper Kupp's going to get his, though. I don't love what that Tampa defense is doing. And I have those tickets. I'm making about $80,000 now if the Rams take it all the way to the Super Bowl. Ooh. A side note before we go to the other two, guys. There are bets right now that you can place on these apps that they're not going to be there next week. So if you're waiting to say, hey, I need to stay in the week, the odds are going to come down dramatically. But if you can find one team that can make the Super Bowl, it will pay for itself and then some. Like the Rams-Tennessee. So you take a little bit of a long shot with a favorite, 31-1 or 35-1, depending on who's going to win. Just to make the game, you're getting 15-1. So these are big odds. The favorite, obviously, to make the game, Kansas City versus Green Bay. That's only 6-1 to get in. If Green Bay beats Kansas City, that's the favorite choice. To beat the second favorite choice, you're getting 11-1. So you can definitely make some money on those prop bets right now as well, if you can just find even one team that'll make it to the big game, not even saying they're going to win.
Earlier in the season, the Buffalo Bills were on the road at Kansas City, and they lost. It was a 38-20 game. It was on Sunday Night Football. Bills and KC, the Chiefs, the rematch. How do you see this game shaping up?
Yeah, this is the toughest one for sure, because the optics, I had Buffalo last week against New England. It was not surprising at all. I love what Josh Allen's doing. The Bills Mafia give me a headache. I mean, I'm actually a physical migraine. I went there before I saw you guys, so I was in bad temperament, I think, when I got to Chicago, because I was dealing with Bills Mafia in the middle of the summer by Niagara Falls. But they've got it going, and they're hot at the right time. And whoever comes out of this game is going to have a ton of momentum going forward to the next game, because they're going to have beaten a really good team. Game at Arrowhead, though, and a Chiefs defense, they run the 3-4 defense. They have athletes on that second level, and that will give Josh Allen some trouble. Josh Allen likes to get on his feet, get outside the pocket, pick up first down, kind of get lost in the mix. This Kansas City defense should do well enough to stop him enough to get him off the field. And the Kansas City offense is, they are able to turn the light switch. We've seen this the last couple of years. We saw it last week against an underrated Pittsburgh defense. I actually like Kansas City here, but it's the hardest one for sure of the group, I think, because, I mean, Buffalo is for real. They're doing a lot well. But going on the road, I also think I've got the better coach. I don't love Buffalo's coach, and I do like Andy Reid, especially at home. I think there will be more defense played in this game than a lot of people think, though. After what happened last time, people like that recency bias. They also look back what happened when these two teams played. Expect both defenses to put out a better performance, but lean toward the under and play the Chiefs.
Jack, we've talked mainly football here, but if someone goes to your website and signs up at FatJackSports.com, what else will they receive?
Well, they can go play all these free winners and guess which ones are actually worth betting your money on. I mean, I'm not just throwing out free winners. I've got thousands of dollars on these games, and I send those games to my clients. So you need to go first and foremost, because it's only $99 to get my plays for the weekend in football. If you add basketball, 6-3 this week. I'm sweating out Presbyterian right now. They're in a tight game. They're actually down for 2 minutes. Come on, guys, finish. But you're going to get basketball plays that are up 3 games, up over 40 games on the season. Everybody gets the same plays. They're texting yourself on their email to you, and they're going to make you money. Right now, if you go get signed up for the new year through the 2023 Super Bowl, you can pay out the service fee up to 8 months for football, 10 months for football and basketball. It's like $250 a month to win next year. You get all the plays we now in this year's Super Bowl for free, and you get the baseball season for free, which made over 70 games of profit last year alone for free. So go to FatJackSports.com, get dialed in, start winning money today, betting the games against the spread. By Monday, you're going to be up in football and basketball.
Thank you, Jack. Good luck this weekend. We'll talk to you next week, Thursday at 6:35. Thanks again, Jack.
All right, guys. Have a great week. See you soon.
That's the Fat Jack. Go to his website. Sign up now, FatJackSports.com. Also call 800-298-3776. 13-83, one of the best weekends of the football season, the NFL divisional round of the playoffs. Can't wait. We have the song of the night coming up next.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Download the podcast of Black and Abdallah on the ESPN Chicago app. We have the song of the night coming up in just a moment.
We do.
Each night around 6:50, we like to play a song for you. It's our favorite part of the show. I can't wait for the divisional round. I mean, listen, each game has interesting angles, no matter which one you look at. Mm-hmm. Tennessee and Cincinnati, obviously, I hyped it up to the Fat Jack. You know, Joe Burrow has been so good this season. Like, I feel as if that would be a really cool story to see the Bengals pull an upset and get to the AFC Championship game.
Mm-hmm.
In, like, basically year one, you know, Joe Burrow was a rookie last year, but first year being healthy. Like, I like stories of young, talented players who become really good very quickly, like Patrick Mahomes. Because then it tells us, like, oh, maybe this is something we should keep our eyes on for the next few years.
Yeah.
You know, maybe this is an all-time great situation. I like stuff with that, because when I was watching the game last week, I was trying to figure it out. Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase. Have we ever seen something like this, where two guys get selected in drafts in back-to-back years, and then, like, Ja'Marr Chase, you could argue, is the best wide receiver in football this year.
Yeah.
You could argue it.
You could.
And then Joe Burrow, I'm not saying he's the best quarterback this season, but he's in the conversation of the best six,
yeah.
Right? Like, mm-hmm. like he's there in the group of
he's definitely
Rodgers,
comeback player, yeah.
Brady, mm-hmm. Mahomes, mm-hmm. Josh Allen. Like, after you say those four, isn't Joe Burrow, like, in that next grouping of players that yeah. you would list off?
I would, yes. I would like to see Josh Allen, though. I want to see the Bills. Like, I'm hard on the Bills right now. They're hard for the Bills.
You're what?
Phrasing.
Do we have to
Phrasing.
Dump that?
No. All right. We don't have to dump it. Fat Jack mentioned those futures. You can bet the exact Super Bowl matchup, and I would bet Bills-Packers at plus 750. So you get 7.5 to 1 on the Bills and Packers to match up, because I think that would be a good Super Bowl matchup. I think that those teams match up well together.
I
mean, you get Josh Allen, you get Aaron Rodgers. Despite whatever you think about Aaron Rodgers, he's still one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL today. I'm sick of the Bucks. I don't care. I think they're too beat up to make a run.
I'm with you. I'm not going to tell you right now where I'm leaning for like it, love it.
No,
tomorrow.
You're leaning with the Rams. I know you are.
Yeah,
it's fine. I think you're going to like the Rams.
I'm definitely seeing a plus 3 bet in yeah. the Rams' favor for me.
But
is that like a 20-hour tease you just gave me right
well,
there?
Well, no, oh, I just my. Abdul knows me. I don't really change my opinion flipping, flopping back and forth throughout the week. So like when I think I know something about football, I tend to stick with it.
Yeah,
like from the jump. And the moment I saw what I saw this past weekend and what I think of these two teams, he's right. Like, I think Tampa Bay might be too beat up. And if you're giving me 3 points in that setting, I think I'll take the better defense and the points.
I think so. That's why I think I'm going to take the Bills against the Chiefs.
Man, I don't understand how we could be sitting here with Kansas City at home for a playoff game.
I know.
The favorite by a point or a point and a half. And you're saying you're going with the other team. I think that's crazy.
And but that's why I think I like it so much.
I
think this might be the Bills' year.
You look at danger in the face and you spit right at it.
And I throw stuff at it.
All right, it's time for the song of the night.
I want to rock!
Hey, turn up the volume and don't touch that dial because it's time for...
What dial? There's no dial on my phone.
Yeah, it's just an... never mind.
Crank the volume because it's time for Black and Abdallah's Song of the Night.
Yo, later.
Tonight's song, we go to Badfinger. Baby Blue from 1971. It's your song of the night.
Yes, I got...
Kubishik this song? It was not released today.
No.
It was not released today in 1972. It was released March 6, 1972. However, the show Breaking Bad premiered today. And this, if you haven't seen it, I suggest you don't. I don't want to tell people not to listen, but turn down the radio for a little bit. Why? If you've lived under a rock for the last 15 Spoiler years alert. Or whatever.
It came out in 2008. You got to see it. It's great. Breaking Bad, the best show to ever exist, create, yep. ever. It's the best television show ever made.
This is the last song, the final scene of the show when Heisenberg, or whatever, Walter White, when he dies, and the zoom out of the crane shot of him as police.
I'm watching it right now.
As police swarm to the area to arrest him. And that's what you get.
You know, the thing about Breaking Bad that I appreciate, and I know that Better Call Saul is a great show that has been spun off of the Breaking Bad idea, but mm-hmm. I appreciate that not only was Breaking Bad 5 seasons, which seems incredibly short for yeah. the amount of time it was actually on the air. It was
they
on the air
time,
from 2008
yeah.
to 2013.
Yeah.
I would say this. I appreciate that there was an ending, that we don't have this mysterious, did someone walk into the diner and did Tony Soprano, what happened there? Were there yeah. onion rings consumed? You know, like...
Well, onion rings were definitely consumed.
I just appreciate that the end of Breaking Bad, as that story goes,
yeah.
Walter White...
It's complete.
That was it. It was it.
You got the Jesse movie.
You get it. The Jesse movie was fine.
It was fine.
I don't need a series.
No.
You know, that's the thing.
I like Better Call Saul. I think it's really good. I really like the characters. I'm not going to say it's better than Breaking Bad, but it's a good show. It's a high-quality show.
My thirst for more from those characters has never been needed. Like, to
no.
me, I haven't really gotten... We've watched a couple of episodes
but
of it.
But you're not but getting like,
I don't
more
need
of
more...
those characters. You're
no,
getting
I know.
More Jim. You're more Slippin' Jimmy.
I
you're
know.
Getting more Saul.
World,
like,
I don't...
I like it. I
like
think
the
it's
story
great.
That ended.
I think if anybody deserved a backstory on that show, it was how Saul became Saul. And it's
so
perfect.
We celebrate Breaking Bad. Badfinger, Baby Blue, it's the way the show ended. It's your song of the night.
Did you know Todd Rundgren produced this album after George Harrison stopped producing it?
That's nice. Nice little song fact there.
Did you know that?
I didn't, no.
Well, now you know.
I wanna rock. Hey, turn up the volume and don't touch that dial because
dial?
It's time for...
What dial? There's no dial on my phone.
Yeah, it's just an... never mind. Crank the volume because it's time for Bleck and Abdullah's Song of the Night.
Yo, later.
We'll be back in 2 minutes.
You're listening to Bleck and Abdullah.
ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.